I stupidly give Square Enix the benefit of the doubt when they don't deserve it.
Yeah, console tell you to stop. Octopath Traveler 2.
When we get to Octopath Traveler, the Ocho is going to be a big deal.
It wouldn't be Octopath Traveler, the Ocho. It would be Octopath Traveler, the Octo.
Oh. That's true. I'm such an idiot. I didn't even think. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on another steaming hot edition of Cup of Joes. I'm your host, Joe Brown, joined by my best friend, Joe Parian. And Joe, not only are you my best friend, but I'm also very proud of you because you are also a Pokemon champion now, correct?
This is correct. Just to let everybody know, me and Joseph... We're having a conversation last night.
It would be Joseph and I, if you want to be correct, but, you know.
Joseph and Joseph were having a conversation last night. And he was like, man, when are we going to record? When are you going to beat Pokemon so we can record? And I was like, oh, I did beat Pokemon. I hit the credits and everything. But now I have to go beat all the gyms again because I'm now inspecting every gym or whatever. And he was like, oh, well, did you get to the Paradox place? And me, not being so savvy on the Pokemon community and the Pokemon game.
Being an idiot.
Being a person who isn't sure if there was some other thing that was going to need to be done after I do all the inspections, thought that the Paradox place was something else other than the Great Crater. But Joe also should have known that I said I hit the credits, and the credits come after you beat the dude in the crater.
While that may be true.
No, someone wasn't paying attention while they were talking to me and asked the question.
Because the way you worded it, it made it seem like you had a lot more to do.
I said I needed to go do all the gyms again. When do you need to go do all the gyms again?
Pretty late on.
Do you think it's after you beat the man and save the world, apparently?
It might be, perhaps.
Yeah, so when I said, Joe, you asked me, Joe, what do you have to do still? I said, oh, I have to go beat all of the gyms again. That would have been a coin toss, or not coin toss, it would have been like a light bulb moment for you to be like, oh yeah, he beat the game.
Well, listen, you know, don't fault me that here we are literally at the end of December, ending 2022 with this podcast here, and I beat the game so long ago compared to you that I didn't remember.
Do you want to explain to them why you beat the game so long ago compared to me?
Because I'm a Pokemon master, like, no big deal.
Could it also have to do with the fact that I have a full-time job?
I don't know about that. I literally beat the game on a cruise with no internet, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I beat the game on a cruise while having no other responsibilities.
Oh, what am I supposed to do? File my taxes while I'm on a cruise, Joe? No, I was sitting at the buffet area jamming out some Pokemon. Listen,
don't
other people with full-time jobs, okay? We're still able to beat Pokemon quicker than you.
Okay, well, here's another thing. I was catching a ton of Pokemon. I was doing a ton of different stuff. Joe, I don't know if you know this, but I caught a shiny within the first hour of me playing the game. So why don't you get off my nuts and leave me alone?
I'm so jealous of you. I've caught one shiny. It was a Q font, the metal elephant guy.
Yeah, but I thought you told me you knew how to do the ghost trick, the ghost shiny trick. Is that patched?
I have no idea if it's patched or not, because I haven't really done much shiny hunting. I mean, I was aware of it. I was following the scene. I was seeing what the discourse was, but I wasn't really participating. However,
I thought you were a shiny hunter.
You caught all these Pokemon, Joe. But do you have the shiny charm? Did you catch all 400? Because I do.
I'm still working on that.
Ooh, how does that feel? How does that feel? Be honest.
How does it feel?
That I have the shiny charm and you don't. And you're out here like, oh, I was catching so many Pokemon as if I wasn't.
I feel fine because I'm also playing like three other games at the exact same time as this. And I have a full-time job and a girlfriend and a dog and a cat. And I go to bed at 10:30 and wake up at 6.
Yet Nimona is still a better trainer than you.
Who's Nimona?
Joe.
I need you to understand something. They talk too long in these games now that I don't pay attention to what's going on anymore.
You can't be serious. Think of a character in the game.
Is it the girl that you're like,
yes, friends with the entire rival time? Oh my God, Joe.
Listen, they're not. these games now, you don't have rivals. You have friends that are just eager to get their ass kicked by you. I'm tired of this.
No, she's kind of a rival. The last couple generations.
I felt like we were going to go on a date. She's like, oh my God, chinless kid, what are you doing? This is so much fun. We should battle.
We should battle over dinner, you know, with some.
We should battle and then go out to dinner, and then I'll reintroduce you to my father, who is also the director of the entire school that we go to.
This is troubling because no, he's not.
Well, they came out of the same fucking house, so leave me alone.
Oh my God. How are we? Okay. The point of this episode today of the podcast was to review Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. But how are we going to review it if Joe doesn't know who Nimona is? He thinks Director Clavel.
Joe, I'm sorry. Did you play the Pokemon game for the story? Or did you play the Pokemon game to catch Pokemon, battle other people Pokemon, and then just do all this other stuff? Don't even talk to me like that.
It's called a little column A, a little column B, okay?
It's called Joe had no time to read the paragraphs of words that all of these people kept saying.
It is an RPG. A JRPG to be, you know, specific for you, Joe. So there you are role playing in a game in that world, meeting those characters, following. There was literally three different storylines that you had to go through.
I need you to back it up. You're calling it an RPG. There was no role playing happening. There was no decision making other than what path you followed.
There's no decision making between 400 Pokemon you can have in your party and use in which battles you want. There's no decision making.
Joseph, you know what I'm talking about. Like Final Fantasy. That's a RPG because there's a lot of decision making that happens in that game.
Yeah,
ton of decision making. This is Pokemon. This is a Pokemon game. Pokemon falls into its own category.
No, it doesn't.
Listen, if you brought me here in the middle of my workday to just argue with me about dumb stuff, I could go back to work and deal with those people instead, and listen, not you.
Listen.
Whether you like it or not, Pokemon is
an RPG. That's not even an arguable position that's not even a stance you can have that it's not an RPG.
Okay, in my opinion, it does not follow the other RPG things that I have played. There you go. That's all you got. It's an opinion. Now leave me alone. Joe Brown, you have some wild opinions at times. No, you have some wild opinions, and you make me respect them. Now, you were going to respect mine, and we're going to move on.
I don't know if I can respect this, because you're essentially attacking my... You're attacking my essence, my being, as a Pokemon fan, by saying it's not an RPG.
I'm not like, Joe, Pokemon, worst game in the world. I can't believe you like Pokemon. It has nothing to do with what this is. In my opinion, I don't think that Pokemon is an RPG. I think it is a Pokemon game. I said that it falls into its own category.
I understand, but it still has to have a base genre.
No. Pokemon's been alive almost as long as I've been alive. It's its own genre at this point.
But you can't. You can't search by Pokemon category in a genre of games. If you go on Steam and you're like, oh, I want to play visual novel, or I want to play first-person shooters, or wait, I want to play action-adventure game.
Wait, Joe, are you telling me that if I go onto the Nintendo store right now and I go, I want to play a Pokemon game, a ton of Pokemon games?
No, not what I said. See, this is why it's important to look at the dialogue of the people in the game so you know what their names are and what their roles are. And it's important to listen to the words that I said, because I said there is no Pokemon genre
I'm going to search. I'm going to Nintendo's.
No, Joe. You can't search the word Pokemon. I'm saying
I'm not going to search it. I'm going to go to genre of games, because you're being a... What is the word I'm looking for? You know, I don't even have to look up the word. I'm just having a... I've been working all week, unlike someone else I know.
Oh, rub it in.
Well, you getting on my ass about this? Yeah, I'm going to rub it in.
Listen, move on.
We're done talking about this. Move on. Let's start talking about the game, for God's sakes.
Okay, fine. So, as we played through Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, the RPG on the Nintendo Switch, boom, got 'em. I had a lot of highs and a lot of lows. But before I get into my points, let's ask you, Joe, as the real Pokemon master, what were your opinions on Pokemon Scarlet and Violet?
Me and you had a conversation very early on, I think, about this game too. When you had just started playing it, or no, when you had finished it by the time we actually had the conversation, because the game came out, you went on a cruise, and then you beat the game,
mm-hmm.
and then we talked about it. I think we had both said that it was a Pokemon game, like it was standard Pokemon game, but it did have a lot of glitches and other things that were, not completely polished. Is that what we want to say?
Sure.
But it was still enjoyable for the most part. The thing I really didn't like about the game is how, like, just the frames would drop drastically. Like, my problem with, like, the internet's conversation with it, where people were like, the game's fine if you play it on this emulator on a computer that allows it to do that. And I'm like, cool. I bought it for my Nintendo Switch. My Nintendo Switch should be able to do this fine. Like, their newest Nintendo Switch, the OLED one, did the same thing. So it wasn't even, like, because my Switch was older, it couldn't handle it. It was just, like, this game was made to be too powerful for the Switch, so it kept dropping frame. Like, I don't know what Game Freak was kind of thinking about when they were doing this, and they were like, we need to make this Pokemon game great. Let's make it so powerful that we can't play it on the Switch normally without it having a little bit of issues. I feel like it's kind of like an issue. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. It is an odd decision on Game Freak's end, especially coming off the back of Legends Arceus, which all loved, but saw that there was clearly some developmental or, you know, like production issues with making the game run smoothly, to expand the scope even further without fixing that like central processing issue that they had in Legends Arceus, but now just like crank it up to 11 in Scarlet and Violet and make it even worse.
Yeah. Now, Joe Brown, I have another question for you.
Yeah.
Are you one of these types of people that believe, okay, it's the Switch. The Switch should be able to play all these games at great, like, graphical settings and resolution. Are you one of these people that believe that? They're like, where they're like, all right, what was it? The Witcher. The Witcher just came out with an update that gave it next-gen graphics.
Right.
I was online seeing, like, if I needed to buy that, or if I owned it on, because I don't own it on Steam, I own it on GOG, because I bought, like, I think it wasn't out on Steam when it first came out, and I had pre-ordered it somewhere. And I was like, okay, if I own it on GOG, do I still get the update, or do I need to buy it on Steam to get the update? And like, while looking that up, someone asked if it was coming out for the Switch, and the comment was, there is no release for the Switch. And all of these people were extremely annoyed that the Switch wasn't getting the next generation, the next gen graphical update. And my issue is, the Switch is not a next gen graphical, like a next gen graphics type of machine.
Right.
It is literally the last gen graphics.
Yeah, I think there's a conversation of, should it be able to run better graphically, and can it be ran better? I think that's like, those are two different things. Like, yes, it should, but it cannot, just because of the limitations of the hardware, which that's why I find it so confusing that Game Freak would go down this road of having these like open world, like graphical issues, because they understand the hardware that, you know, and they understand the limitations that they can't make it look like God of War Ragnarok, you know, like, so I think for a lot of history, Game Freak kind of got away with having the 2D pixel art and being on a handheld and being constrained, but like, because of the uniformity of a Game Boy and Game Boy Color and DS and stuff, like, it was never really an issue, because that was just the style and that's what you had to do just to make a game work on those systems, right? But yeah, ever since 3D was introduced in the 3DS, they've always had graphical issues because it's just not their, I guess it's not their bag. It's not their thing. They focus on Pokemon creation and character design and, you know, world design and like puzzles and gym battles and things like that. It's not like, they're not a company known for their graphical prowess, for their, you know, visual capabilities or whatever. So
Are you talking about Game Freak in general? Are you talking about Game Freak or Nintendo?
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
I thought you were talking about Nintendo. I was like, wait a minute.
No, because that's what I'm saying. Because there are some games, like, even what's, because Breath of the Wild is obviously the one everyone keeps comparing it to. It's like, wow, this came out 5 years ago and looks better. And so it's like, even Breath of the Wild, which had visual issues because of performance things of being a Wii U game, kind of half Wii U, ported to Switch in the middle of development, you know, weird system, because the visual themes and the, you know, everything was consistent, you could like overlook some of those frame stuttering issues because everything looked right in Breath of the Wild, because it had that level of polish to it. Yeah. It's just, you understood that the system it was on couldn't handle what they were trying to do, but you understood that the polish was there. However, in Scarlet and Violet, you're like, did Masuda not see literally in the middle of a battle, a person walking down the street walks through my two Pokemon as they're battling and nothing, he gets hit by a flamethrower and nothing happens to you. You know what I mean? It's like, where is that level of polish when it comes to this important Nintendo franchise? But Mario and Link and Kirby and all the other boys, Donkey Kong, they all get polish.
I think it was rushed. Going back to what most people on the internet said, I think it was rushed.
I don't even know if rushed is the right word. It doesn't even have a choice. It has to come. You know what I mean? Like, rushed is like, oh, they could have given it more time in the oven and, you know, 6 months later it would have been a better game. Like, it's not even a possibility with Pokemon, because they have to have that game come out every 3 years, because they can't start selling Fuecoco plushes until you reveal who Fuecoco is, and then you can't sell a Skeledirge or Meowscarada plush until it's revealed who that Pokemon is, and you can't sell a Lokix plush or or any of the other new Pokemon that people, Don Dozo or whatever, like, their money comes from the merchandising. At this point, the games, which make more money than God, like, they sold 20 million copies in a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was, It's, they make money, but they make all that other money on the Pokemon website, selling all the t-shirts and the plushes and the accessories and the bags and stuff. So it's, I don't know why they keep doing this, because it's not even an option to push it back. So you should just like scale it down in preparation for knowing that you don't have extra leeway. You don't have extra wiggle room. You know what I mean?
But like at the same time, like, I'm just saying, like, I guess maybe it's because I'm older, and maybe you also understand this because you're older at this point too. Like, you're an older gamer, and you've like been through the bad times of like games coming out because they've been so rushed.
Yeah.
But like, if Pokemon was like, listen, give us 3 more months and we'll have it done for you in February and it'll be amazing, I would believe them. Because that's what, what's his name? That's what they did with like certain other games. They're like,
with Miyamoto. With Miyamoto.
Yes.
Where didn't I send you that photo that it said this? We're gonna have to update this quote because it used to be a delayed game is eventually good, but a rush game is bad forever. And so now the new quote is, a delayed game is eventually good, but a rush game will sell 10 million copies in 3 days.
But like, it's just like, after having Arceus,
mm-hmm,
and it being like, and me being like, this game is really fun, but they just need to fix this like graphical issue. And if they come out, if the Pokemon Company and like Game Freak have been like, listen, we're trying to make sure that this game has the best like polish, the best look to it. Give us two to three more months, and you'll have it. I would have been like, you know what? Yes, but if you're gonna do that, give me a little bit more like knowledge about evolutions or Pokemon in the game. Like, maybe that's a fair trade.
Yeah, but that, like, that's the issue too of all these people. Like, we can go on the side, like the side tangent of people who like complain about spoilers and like, you shouldn't show a new Pokemon like on Twitter or something that you catch in the first 2 weeks of the game because of spoilers. Like, I will never understand this opinion. I have never understood this opinion that I do not believe that seeing Paldean Wooper's evolution Clodsire is a spoiler. I will never respect that opinion. Because a spoiler would be like, hey, Arvin's parent went to the future and died and was replaced by a robot that you had to fight to save the world or it was going to be destroyed. That's a spoiler. But seeing what Scovillain is as a fire and grass type because it wasn't revealed in a trailer, that's not a spoiler to me. So I think a lot of the issues that we have is because of this community and how they operate. That, for example, Pokemon all year round, they always making cards, they're making new things, that's the product, that's the way they make money. If they were to delay the game, they then would have to delay the TCG because they now can't reveal, they're not allowed to reveal those Paradox Pokemon, like we saw, Lisa, the new Japanese TCG set that have Iron Treads and Great Tusks, the two Donphan forms. They wouldn't even be allowed to show that off, so therefore they can't even promote the TCG, so they would have to push back the TCG as well. And you know what I mean? There's a whole, the anime production, like the new series of anime is already in the works and stuff, that would have to be pushed back as well. So that's why I'm saying it's like, they don't even have the benefit of 3 months because they literally have to be on top of it at all times.
Okay, then know your timeline. Know what you're getting into. Like, I'm always I never have a problem when a game's like, listen, we got to delay it just a little bit because we need to fix some stuff. I'm like, please do not give me another Cyberpunk. Do not give me another Fallout 76. Right. Please finish it.
Specifically on this, like, because we can, you know, as we're reviewing it, we can talk about the areas we liked and stuff we didn't. Like, I liked Arvin's thing, you know, with the fighting the Titans, and it was cool. It was very similar to Legends Arceus, right? With the big,
yes,
you know,
yes,
bosses and stuff like that. But like, you want to save development time, you could literally get rid of the entire Team Star storyline, and nothing is worse. The game is not worse for wear. It is the most unnecessary waste of time I've ever had in a Pokemon game.
Okay, thank you. I was nervous to have this conversation with you because I was not sure what you were going to say about it, but I did not like that storyline. I was like, you're going to make me go...
It was awful. Fight.
Like, I saved this person at the beginning of the game from being bullied by Team Star, and then... They're the leader of Team Star?
It's the most, like... And I understand the game is made for kids, so... I'm sure if you were 6 years old, well, you could, like, hardly read, so I don't know how much... You would have been like Joe out there, not reading the storyline. But if you were...
Yeah, I was just fucking blasting. I was like, I need to get this done.
If you were 6 years old reading the storyline, and you go, oh my god, Cassiopeia was Penny the whole time? Yeah! Duh! Like, it's not... It's literally not hard. Pokemon doesn't make assets of characters if they're not important. Clearly, Penny is important for some reason. And she just so happens to keep showing up at the end of every Team Star activity. The same with Director Clavel, where he tried to be a teenage, yeah, how you do, fellow kids, like
Clive kinda, or whatever somebody called himself.
Yeah, Clive. Like, it's like, oh my god. And then so there's no, like, I remember I was watching whose stream was I watching when they were going through the Team Star stuff. I'm blanking right now, so I apologize on the streamer. But basically, it was Alpharad. It was Alpharad had on his YouTube. He has highlights of his, you know, Scarlet Violet playthrough. And there's like arguably no justification for Team Star forming to begin with. There's no justification for their actions because they're bullies and they cut school and they make other kids be delinquents and terrible or whatever because, like, one negative moment in their life happened to them a year and a half ago. So they all decide to be, you know, bad for the sake of it. And so, like, that's how you fight fire with fire. I guess that's the moral of the story, is be bad because someone was bad to you, even though, obviously, since this is a kid's game, that should not be what the narrative is. But then the relationship with Penny makes no sense. Why does she have to be Cassiopeia? Why does Director Clavel have to pretend that he's Cassiopeia to make sure that we're strong enough to handle Penny? When, because the story things, how the leveling works out, you usually, most people will have beaten all 8 gym leaders before they finish Team Star, because Team Star finishes up in the top of the map with higher level Pokemon. So Director Clavel should use his small brain and realize that, wow, this person beat all 8 gym leaders. They're probably strong enough to handle this little girl that doesn't actually battle anybody. I don't need to pretend to be Cat. And if he knew the whole time that Penny was Cassiopeia, then why did he dress up as Clive to try to figure out who was the leader of Team Star? Like, the whole thing, Joe, makes literally no sense.
Well, yeah, like...
And there's no consequences. They don't get in trouble. He's like, you know what? You guys were Paldean domestic terrorists for a year and a half. No big deal. Just come back to your, like, biology class and we'll call it even. Like, what?
So, like, here's the thing that I was wondering. Because, like, as you know, I did not pay attention to most of the story of this game. What was their whole deal? Like, I would get to there and then, like... I don't know, maybe it's just I don't have the patience for, like, the long-winded writing anymore.
It's like, each of them got, like, bullied, like, one time or something, so they decided they were just gonna, like, be super annoying and not go to class. Like, and try to convince other kids to not go to school anymore because they got bullied one time. It was nonsense, Joe. Like, Penny literally stole funds from the government to afford to keep Team Star in operation.
And
Clavel's like, you know what? This is kind of out of my jurisdiction. So I'm not going to punish you for literally committing a federal offense. So I guess you're in the clear. Like,
Well, that was what I kind of like did tune in when she was like, I stole money from the government. And I was like, hold on a minute. I did not read anything you said before this. But what? What did you do? You are a 15-year-old in school. You started a gang and you did what? And then at the end of the game, she's like, oh, yeah, I got a job to pay off all the money I stole because, you know, the place I work was like, yeah, we want you to come work for us because you're so good at doing, so good at hacking and stealing our money. And I was like,
yeah,
this.
So she didn't get punished for her actions. None of them did. They all just come back to school.
But Joe Brown, I would like to tell you something that happens in the real world. Like people like break the law and do something like that. And the people that they do it to are like, you know what? Yeah. Come and help us make it better.
No, I understand that concept of her. I'm saying no one else in Team Star like got punished for their acts for a year and a half of delinquency, for a year and a half of terror that they caused to the students of the school.
Were they really was it really that bad though? And it was not on school grounds too, so whatever.
Well, they were taking kids away from school and, you know, and beating people up in the streets with their their bases. The bases also, like, dude, Game Freak, God.
I hated those
things. Really thought it was going to take 10 minutes to hit R 30 times to get 30 of the same knockouts five different times in five different bases the exact same way. And it took a minute and a half every single time. They really thought it was going to take 10 minutes to do that? Like...
Yeah, I thought I heard something downstairs.
No, it's fine. Like the parts of the Team Star battles that I liked were the actual battle at the end against the leader with the Pokemon whose name's the engine Pokemon with the car and everything, and his typing would change every battle depending on what's like. That aspect of it was fun. But the lead up to it with the let me just run around and hit R 30 times to get 30 knockouts was not fun. The background story after you did it was like, oh, it turns out I'm not as evil as you would have thought. It's like, yeah, well, this loses its luster after five times in a row of the exact same flashback scenario that, oh, it turned out the bad guy's not that bad. Like, wouldn't it have been nice if just, like, one of the five of them was actually just a jerk? It was like, no, I was taking advantage of it. I wanted to be mean. Like, everyone's like, oh.
I used to start fires for a living, and now I just do this.
Yeah, right? And like, so, like, just Team Star was so bad. The Titans were fun. I liked Arvin's story with his dog. He was sick.
Oh, my God.
Can
I say something about that real quick?
Yeah.
So, as I was doing Arvin's story, I kind of, like, also somewhat paid attention to Arvin's story because I was, like, it got me very interested in it. I was like, oh, what do we... Because he was like, you can come out now. And it cut to black. And I was like, ooh, Arvin, what are you doing? What are you doing in there? And he was like, all right, I guess I could tell you my backstory. And I was like, here we go. Dark-seated backstory. And like, I'm trying to make my parents proud. And then he's like, my dog is sick. And I was like, my dog is sick.
now I'm interested.
Yes, let me help your poor dog. I saw, like, that happened to me. And then I saw another meme of it where someone was like, okay, what's your dark backstory? And he's like, my dog's sick. And they're like, yes.
Yeah, I like this storyline. I think that was also a neat implementation of the ride system with your legendary, you know, compared to Arceus with the five different Pokemon or whatever. Now it was just your Maridon or Coridon that did all of it, and it gave you a sense of progression because over time you could climb and you could glide and you could do, like, you felt like you were accomplishing things. So I give a lot of credit to the Titan storyline. And then the regular battling storyline, you know me, Joe, I'm a battler at heart, so I was completely fine with that. I had no problem sending my fire type out against the bugs and sending my electric out against the water and sending my ground type out against the electric. Like, you know, that's my shtick. That's what I'm in for. What I go ahead.
I don't know. Continue. I'll say it after you're done.
So I was gonna say I liked from the trainer or from the gym leader challenge part of it.
That's what I was gonna say.
I liked the gym leaders. I couldn't, besides Larry, I couldn't name any of the gym leaders. If you had a gun to my head, I wouldn't know their names. But like Larry was awesome. He had all the cutscenes and his like cook was like trash talking him on the side, like, give him a show, Larry. And then he just starts sweeping your team. So like I liked the gym challenge, and I liked how every ace Pokemon, so their final Pokemon in the gym, was like an older Pokemon, and then they changed to another typing, you know what I mean? So it was like, I'm trying to think of the examples. Like, some of them made sense. Like, Sudowoodo was the grass type because he pretends to be a tree, right? So he's a rock type, but he wants to be a grass type. So, like, things like that, I appreciated, and I liked how that, like, system worked. Mischievous, who was an electric type that has Levitate, right? So I liked the implementation of the terrestrializing with the gym leaders.
Yeah, I thought the use of the terrestrialization in the overall game was actually pretty cool. Steering away a little bit from the gym battles, I actually would replace Pokemon that I had. Like, if I found, what's it? Joe Brown, you're going to have to help me with this name. The big jawed snapping turtle Pokemon, what's his name?
Drednaw.
Yeah, I named him, Mikey from Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
I found another one, found another Drednaw that, instead of it being water, terrestrialization, it was ice.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, okay. So then I caught that one and I named that one Donnie. And I was like, all right, sorry, Mikey, I got to switch you out for Donnie.
Sorry, Mikey, you got
to go. So... because I thought that was cool that, like, if I had him out and I was fighting a bunch of stuff and then he was going up against an electric Pokemon, if an electric Pokemon was coming out, I was like, all right, I'm going to just terrestrialize. I'm just going to terrestrialize and it'll completely change its type. It won't affect it in the way that I wanted it to. I mean, in the way that they want it to. Like, it'll be good against that. So I thought that was really cool. Like, I know we kind of originally were like, this is going to be lame. This is stupid. Like, we were both kind of like, I think this is lame.
That was our flashback, like the Team Star flashbacks. I agree. I think that's a cool implementation. And from what I've been playing online, and I played in like an online tournament and stuff, and I built a team with one of my friends, like, the defensive aspects of terrestrializing are very interesting, like that exact scenario you just mentioned. Like, for example, there's a lot of, like, you can do some things like Garchomp is a ground and dragon type, right? Excuse me for coughing. And so a lot of times people will just turn into a ground type, so that way you lose your weakness to fairy. And you also get your really strong earthquakes off because you get, like, the double stab or whatever. But then there are other Pokemon like Arcanine, who a lot of times will become... people turn it into a grass type, so now it's not weak to earthquake anymore. Or my favorite is King Gambit, going from a dark steel type to a water type, and now you're not weak to earthquake, now you're not weak to fairy, and things like that. So I do think that defensive aspect of terrestrializing is very interesting to me.
Yeah, it was a very cool like mechanic to work with, because when it was first being announced and talked about, we didn't really think that was going to happen. Like, we didn't think that you were going to be able to have certain Pokemon with different types. They made it seem like, oh, well, we'll give you a Pikachu one. That is kind of, or an Eevee will have different types, because, you know, Eevee is like normal and most normal types will give different types. It made it sound like that. It didn't be like, okay, this water ground type will completely change into just ice, which was a pretty interesting thing. Or this like ghost ground will change into whatever. Like, yeah. It was a really cool implementation that I believe I believe, combated or even outdid last
Dynamax.
Gen.
Yeah. I think Terrestrializing is significantly better than Dynamax.
Yeah, because I think at Dynamax, didn't you only get to use like three moves and then it would turn, then it would stop?
Correct. Yeah, you got bigger for three turns and then you'd go back down to normal size.
Where with this one, I think you could use it for a while.
Forever, until you get knocked out. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was also another cool thing about, like, in the wild, you can find random Pokemon with different types of that ability, and you couldn't kill them right away. You would knock them down to a certain health bar, and then their effect would wear off, and then you could catch them.
And then, I liked that. That was a really smart implementation by them, because I remember specifically struggling, like, early on in the game. I'm, like, level 16, 17, 18 or something with all my Pokemon, and I run into a level 22 normal Scyther, and he's just wrecking my team, and I'm just, oh my god, and like, I'm still thinking, like, I have to whittle its health down. I can't knock it out too much. I can't do too much damage, or I'm gonna lose this cool Pokemon or whatever. But having that kind of fail safe in place, like, I use that a lot later on in the game. I'm like, all right, well, I'm just gonna one shot this Pokemon with the correct typing, because I know it's going to get brought down to the lower spot, and I'm not going to accidentally one-hit KO it, you know, and I'll be able to catch it. So I like how they did that, and how those Pokemon, I don't know if they reminded you of Legends Arceus, like, with the, what were those big Pokemon called in the areas? The Alpha Pokemon, right?
Yeah, something the like Alpha that. Pokemon, yeah.
It kind of felt like that to me, like, I was in a level 16, 17, 18 area, but had the 22 Scyther. And later on in the game, I had like level 40 Pokemon all with me and walking around, and I found a level 50 Jolteon with its Terrestrializing. So I'm like, oh man, and like that was a tough fight. And then I ended up using that Jolteon, you know, when all my other Pokemon were like 10 levels lower health, because it was like, oh, this is like kind of a badge of honor that I caught this Pokemon when I was so significantly underleveled.
Yeah, it was really cool doing that. It was really cool seeing that. Like, there's a lot of cool things to see. Is there anything good that you want to talk about before we move on, Joe?
Yeah, I do think, I mean, I know you skipped through all of Nimona's dialogue, but I actually really like Nimona as a rival. I was talking with our friend TJ, who's been on the show a couple times, Joe, talking about Kingdom Hearts. So I was talking with TJ about it, and how a lot of the last two generations, people did not like the rivals in Hop and How, and then a lot of people have issues with the friend group you had in X and Y also as your rival system. But like, a lot of what was annoying with Hop and How was the unskippable dialogue and them constantly wanting to fight you, and then you just wreck their team and they just keep unwavering in their trash talk, and they're like, hoped, oh, I'm gonna be the greatest trainer, even though I literally just, you know, gutted your entire team and with no effort whatsoever. And then people are like, oh, Nimona's the same way. All she ever does is want to battle you. Why aren't you complaining about Nimona? It's like, well, the game introduces her as she is already a Pokemon champion. She has already completed the gym leader challenge and beaten what your first path is. For 25 years, your only objective in Pokemon games is to become champion. And at the start of this game, she has already done that. So clearly, you can tell that she is a significantly stronger battler than you when the game first starts. Compared to Hop and How, who just want to become good and just keep getting their butt kicked every time and still pretending that they're actually good at the game. So I like that change to her, to that system, because you instantly respected Nimona as a competitive battler because she had already accomplished what you were trying to do. It was like what you're trying to look up to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Like,
I guess that's what kind of confused me about it too, because I was like, I thought she was already the champion, but then like,
She was just using weaker Pokemon against you. She wasn't using her full team. Yes.
So when does she ever use her full team?
In the so after you rebeat all the gym leaders, you're gonna have a tournament the way in Sword and Shield they had the tournaments afterwards where you'd face the different people, either gym leaders or other people in the town. And so in that post-game tournament that you're going to do, you'll face Nimona in, I think it's the finals, I'm pretty sure. And she'll actually use her real team of like all like level 65, 70 Pokemon.
Okay, that's good. I guess I have to do that. Is it like important to do all the gyms again? Like, whenever?
Yeah, kind of, but I don't know, it's not worth it to go over right now. It's just additional information and things for you that you have to complete, like unlocking higher level terror raids. Like if you wanted to do any of those 7-star terror raids, or you get a free 6-star terror raid every day once you complete the post game and stuff. So yes, there is definitely things that are valuable that you want to complete the post game to be in order to do.
I already got a Charmander. Like I'm good.
Yeah, well, for example, this weekend is Cinderace as the raid. So like it's over time you're gonna want to eventually do it is all I'm saying.
I got you.
Yeah, but I mean I'm trying to think other good things. Like I like Nimona a lot. I like the gym leaders a lot. I liked Arvin and the Titan battles. It was kind of weird how the Titans worked compared to Arceus, where we were throwing those like bags at them forever, but this time we were just fighting them, and they didn't like feel as cool as they did in Arceus, but like overall it was really cool. And then like, all right, so the ending, I think that ending sequence, even though it was really annoying, you couldn't skip the dialogue. Because it's like you have your game's text fast or whatever, so you can just mash through as fast as possible. But then when you have those cutscenes or those scripted events where the game has the dialogue going for you or whatever, it's not on fast. It's at the game's own pace. So it is like, oh my god, come on, let's go. Let's keep it moving here. But diving in to the Paradox area, whatever it's called, area zero or something like that.
Yeah. Now you see why I got confused, because like maybe there is another area underneath called the Paradox area.
No, because they call them Paradox Pokemon, and that's the only area that they can spawn in. You can't go to Lavincia Town and find a Great Tusk. So no, that is the Paradox area.
Wait, here's which one did you play again, Joe?
Violet.
Okay, so we played the same one. Like, I caught one of the, what is it? One of the Titans was a Paradox Pokemon.
Yeah, the Donphan.
Yeah, but two.
There's a past form and a future form. So we had Iron Treads. We had the future Donphan.
Yeah, and then there's the past form. So will we get access to the past form, or do we have to go?
No, you gotta trade it. You have to either join a union circle with a friend, and your friend has Scarlet, and you guys can walk down together, and you can see it, or you can just get a Scarlet friend to trade it to you. But that was, I guess, that was another thing we talked about. I don't know if you did play with friends at any time if you joined their games. Yeah, so I don't see much value in it in your regular playthrough to play with friends when I'm level 27. I don't think there's a lot of value walking around with friends. I like that we had it, because I remember a lot of people remember when Sword and Shield came out and we had the big area with all the raids and stuff, and like, man, this would be so cool to be running around with friends. So I like that they implemented it, but I did think it's better in post game. I remember once I went down with a couple of my friends. We had a group of four, and two of us were Scarlet and two of us were Violet, and we went to Area Zero. And so it's, again, it's like one step forward, two step backwards, everything with Game Freak. So it's good that my friend Maeve, who had Scarlet, she would see the Salamence Paradox Pokemon, who was in, you know, is Scarlet exclusive. And she could stand there and it would spawn. And as long as she stood there, I could also see the Pokemon and I could run into it and try to catch it. And they're like, okay, well, that's good. That's good. That's how I got my Scarlet Paradox Pokemon, the past forms, because I went in with them. But like, if they moved, then the Pokemon despawns because they're not available in Violet. And I'm like, bro, we're like, we're playing the same instance, essentially. Like, it should just be a combined thing right now. So it would, like, there was literally four of us, and I'll stand, and like, you'd have to try to tell where you were. We ended up turning our screens on in Discord and sharing our streams so people could see, because you can't see your friends either when you're supposed to be able to see your friends and walk around. We were able to see one of our friends. So of the four people in the group, only one of us was visible, and the other three were all invisible. So we could see where the one friend was, and so if he was standing somewhere, we'd be able to catch the stuff. But then, so let's say I'm catching the Roaring Moon, which is what the Past Elements is called. And me and you are in the same game with a group of four. I'm battling the Roaring Moon and trying to fight it. On your screen, it's just chilling. You don't see that I'm battling it. So you're trying to run into it and throw Pokeballs at it or whatever and try to battle it. And there is no visual indicator to let you know that that Pokemon is currently in a battle and unobtainable, because once somebody else starts the battle with it, nobody else can interact with it.
Okay.
So it was just like, that's why I keep saying, like, one step forward, two steps back. Like, they had good implementation of the friend thing. It was really fun, you know, going on a picnic with your friends or whatever. And it made life easier, because now, like, my friends didn't have to trade me a Paradox Pokemon, and then I had to trade it back because I just needed the Dex entry. Like, now I caught my own version of it. I just have one, you know? So, like, those parts were good, but then the other things that they implement alongside it were kind of frustrating. So I would recommend, if you wanted to, if you have any friends that played Scarlet, you guys go down to Area Zero together and have a good time.
Out of all my friends, I think only me and one other person got Violet. So everybody else got Scarlet.
Now, I want to ask this question to you, Joe, because I'm curious. Who was your, ultimately, at the end, if you remember, what was your team of six?
My team of six? I got my Switch right here. I did not change it very much.
Because a lot of people have differing opinions. And I actually, for the second generation in a row, I used a team of six where the only new Pokemon is just my starter. I just used Skeledirge and then five old Pokemon that I liked. And yeah, my friends got upset at me about this. So that's why I wanted to ask you.
No, it's as you stated before, it is an RPG. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to do what you want. And if you didn't want to use any of the new Pokemon, because none of them really kind of, because, like, I understand it. Like, there weren't, like, a ton of new ones that really grabbed me and was like, I was like, oh, I really want this Pokemon.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's three or four that were like that for me.
They have to, the way I see it, is new Pokemon have to earn my respect, right?
Exactly. You don't know what they're like. You don't know what.
And if the game is going to show right down the road, there's a Tyranitar that I could play with instead of a, I'm trying to think of a new Pokemon, a Mousehold or whatever.
A Psyclizard?
Sizzlizar, or whatever. Like, I'm going to go hang out with the Tyranitar because he's my boy. I've been friends with Tyranitar for 20 years, you know? So, yeah. Like, my friends were upset with me. It's like, oh, you're not, like, playing the spirit of the game and, like, using the new Pokemon and building that bond, like, I understand the argument that I'm not building that bond with the new Gen 9 Pokemon that I have built already with Tyranitar and Azumarill and Garchomp and whatever, you know, other Pokemon on my team. But it's like, well, they haven't earned it yet, you know? And maybe in Gen 10, if the, you know, Sizzlizar is in the decks, maybe I will put it on the team if I end up liking it 3 years from now. But right now, I'm sticking with Tyranitar.
Yeah, Tyranitar, yeah, it's fine. Just live your best life. Play the game you want the way you want to play. So going back to your question. My team. I had three new Pokemon, including my starter. And then the rest were still fairly, like, from newer generations.
Yeah, because when you said Dreadnought, Dreadnought's a Gen 8 Pokemon, a Sword and Shield Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I was like, he used it one generation later. I was interested.
Yeah, so I have I don't know how to say these Pokemon's names, so I'm sorry if I messed this up. Cerulege,
yeah, the cool Mega Man looking sword dude.
Yeah, right?
He's badass.
I fell in love with him after I evolved him.
I would have used him if I didn't have Skeledirge already as my fire type, you know.
He was great. I loved him. I loved him as my fire type.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Who else?
Well, I also have Meowscarada.
Like Masquerade, Meowscarada.
Who I also very much loved.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody else said. They became an amazing Pokemon with that one move flower trick.
Yep.
Man, holy crap, what a move.
It's pretty strong in VGC too, because you can break through people's defenses while, you know, always making sure you crit. So
yeah, that was a cool move. And then I have Drednaw.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have, we've talked about this, Noivern.
That's right. I remember you telling me you were a big Noivern fan. Yep.
Big Noivern fan. Love the way it looks. You'll notice a pattern with my team, actually. Then I have Dragapult.
Yep.
And then the last one that I have is it's a new one. Goldingo,
yeah. Goldingo's crazy strong.
Yeah, love Goldingo. Love his move, Make It Rain. But I would like to say something about Goldingo.
Please do.
He has the worst evolution mechanic ever.
It's like a thousand coins or something, right?
I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. It made me waste... You want to know something, Joe Brown? That's why I didn't beat the game so quickly, because I wasted so much time doing that.
I understand.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because we can talk about the evolution lines, because did you run into any of the other Pokemon that had the quirky evolutions throughout your playthrough?
Oh, I, like, refused to do them. When I found out they had a quirky thing, I like, what's that one? You have to walk 1,000 steps with them?
Yeah. I was like, nah. I'm kind of out. Well, the big one is the Palafin. The Fin is into Palafin evolution. Did you ever encounter that one? Did you ever look at how to do that one?
Is that the dolphin one?
That's the dolphin where you have to be in a union circle and your friend has to watch you knock out a Pokemon or whatever. And then you can evolve. Like, I'm just going to say it. I'm out on quirky evolutions. I'm done. We don't need... If you want to do your trade evolutions, whatever, because you want people to get both versions, okay, fine. Other Pokemon, have it evolve at level 28 or 45 or 73 for all I care. I don't care about, you're going to evolve by turning your 3DS upside down. That's how you evolve Inkay. Or, you got to give it this incense and, you know, play with it and make sure Eevee's holding a fairy attack. And that's how you get Sylvia. I'm done, Joe. Just have them all evolve at certain levels.
What about, what was that one? What was it? I never looked it up because I always wanted to get him, but I haven't gotten him yet. Was it Primate's next evolution? What's it called? Insane Ape or something?
Annihilate, which is a great name.
It's a great name. How do you evolve into Annihilate?
Why do I forget? Hold on. I'm just gonna look it up.
It was something crazy.
Evolution, because it was crazy. How do you evolve? Hold on, I'm on Bulbapedia. Does it say evolve? Okay, you have to level up after using Rage Fist 20 times, and then so the other one would be
it's not terrible.
It's still annoying. You know, 20 times is a lot, but the other one is King Gambit. To evolve Bisharp into King Gambit, you have to, with Bisharp, KO three, like, not met like the big Bisharps that spawn in a group with five Ponyards or whatever. You have to knock like three boss Bisharps or whatever. It's like, come on, Game Freak, what are we doing here? Like, just give me my cool new King Gambit boy. He's so cool.
Yeah, but
make him evolve at level 55. I don't care. Like,
that was another thing that I felt like when I was playing this game. Like, that's why I stopped like doing the dialogue too. I was like, this game. I was like, because this game is trying to waste my time. Yes. It is trying to make me spend time of things that I don't want to do, so I'm just going to do them as fast as possible. And if that involves not literally listening to what anybody says, fine, because that's going to happen right now. I don't have the patience to do it. I want to get out there. I want to catch stuff. But, like,
the catching is so fun. Like,
the catching is fun.
I know we've had a lot of negatives in this discussion, but, like, I remember, like, first starting a game, those first 4 or 5 hours, like, before I got to the school, I still spent, like, 5 hours in the game walking to every location I physically could walk to without any of the ride mechanics and stuff. And, like, by the time I got to the school, which is when the game was supposed to start, I had already caught, like, 40 Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like, it was just... I had spent so much time walking around trying to catch every single thing in the area. And it was a lot of fun. So, like, I definitely... It was like kind of a tale of two games where the first half of the game I was at like 130 Pokemon caught with 3 gym badges or whatever. And then when I was on the cruise, I was like, all right, I gotta get this over with. I gotta start team building. I gotta start breeding. I gotta start, you know, getting into competitive. So I started, you know, trying to speed lightning get through the rest of the game there. But like, that's why this game it's so hard for me to like rate, Joe, because I think a lot of hardcore Pokemon fans, their feeling is like, this game is frustrating and it's poorly optimized and it's clearly not as good as it could be. However, this is some of the most fun I've ever had playing a Pokemon game. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at.
That's the thing. I saw, what was it? It was a TikTok about it, kind of like about it. It was like, if someone like gets the game, they're like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm playing Pokemon Violet. It's like, doesn't that game have a ton of bugs? Yeah. Doesn't it glitch really bad? Yeah. Doesn't it like force quit you sometimes? Yeah. Like, isn't it kind of miserable? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, then why are you playing it? He's like, because I'm having so much fun.
it's so true. It's the best, worst experience ever. Like, there is something about Pokemon that is just innately appealing to me forever, and so I am willing to deal not even just that, because of, you know, as just a kid, yes, I was playing it, but the second half of my life has been pretty much dedicated to competitive Pokemon, right? So there is something about that I will always appreciate. That the moment I see a Pokemon, like when you see Cerulege or Armoruse, depending on which game, which version you had. I know you have Cerulege. I'm just saying, like, that's cool. That's a badass ghost fire guy with the sword. He looks awesome. I want to play with him. And on mine, I'm like, he's cool. What's his ability? What are its stats? What are attacks it has of it? Like, you know what I mean? It's like instantly, whenever I see a new Pokemon, I'm already drawn to how can it be competitively viable. So I guess that's how it always, every new generation can still be exciting when we're just doing the same Pokemon system we've had for 25 years, because of that deeper layer of competitive that is always going to pull me in on every Pokemon.
Yeah, but I think that's an interesting thing as well, because with this Pokemon game, didn't the like big stat things that you pay attention to really didn't get revealed until like the end of the game, right? It being having like really good stats or something.
Yeah, the judge mechanic to see what your IVs are and stuff. Yeah, that's always like a post game thing.
Okay, so that's always been a post game.
Yeah, because it's the thing like casual players don't really need to care about having perfect IVs and, you know, proper EV training and stuff like that. If you're just playing casually for fun, like, you don't have to optimize your team. How, like, on some of the Pokemon I did use some of them because I was, like, for example, my Azumarill I caught was, it was either Adamant or Brave, so it was plus attack nature, and it had its second ability in huge power, which doubles your attack stat. So, like, if I caught a modest and, thick fat Azumarill, or I guess Azumarill at the time, I probably wouldn't have used it. But because I did have that competitive background, I'm like, oh, this is plus attack and huge power? Like, this thing is going to be a monster. And I'm telling you, Joe, like, everyone's using Azumarill in the raids because it's so strong. But, like, just in the normal playthrough, my Azumarill was just one-shotting everything, even if it wasn't super effective. Like, that's how strong it was.
I'm sorry, but I don't know the Pokemon you were talking about.
Azumarill from Gen 2? The blue, you know, Pika Blue's evolution?
Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry. This is the thing. Some Pokemon's names don't stick with me if I haven't, like, looked at them a lot. This is
a new fandangled Pokemon. Only been out for 23 years.
Spell it so I can look at it again.
Azu. A-Z-U. Merrill. M-A-R-I-L. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Gosh,
one of my friends caught a shiny.
One of my friends got a shiny. It's a great shiny. So for the Merrill, for Azumarill and Merrill, they're green, the shiny. But Azumarill's shiny is yellow, and it's just gorgeous.
Oh, wait, that's the thing. She caught the Merrill shiny, and then it evolved. And she was like, what? Yeah. I wanted it to be green!
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing with this generation, is a lot of the new shinies are just trash, Joe. Like, they're hardly noticeably different.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Like, why did they make shiny hunting easier than ever in this new generation? Cool. And then make a lot of new shinies not worth it to hunt? That doesn't seem, dude, like, you know.
I will forever be super upset that Gastly's shiny is, like, barely Gastly different. Haunters and Gengars are, like, barely different. Like, yeah. I will forever be upset about that.
Especially, like, that when Mega Gengar had the white shiny when you Mega
Evolved. Yeah, I know, right?
And Mega Garchomp became pink, where a regular Garchomp is just barely different shade of blue. It's like, well, just do it. Just change it forever. Nobody's going to care. No, we'll all cut Game Freak some slack. Like, I'll take some frame drops if I can get pink Garchomp. You know what I mean? I will gladly take that trade.
The first shiny I did catch, and I was really, like, sitting there for a minute, and I was like, am I really gonna change, like, redesign my whole team? Because I already had an idea of what I wanted my team to be when I just started. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, pretty much ended up being what I read to you. Like, there's maybe, like, one or two Pokemon differently, because what's that Pokemon that you love that I can never remember the name of it? That teal dog. Steel fighting.
Oh, Lucario.
Lucario.
Wow. What a way to describe one of the franchise's most iconic Pokemon.
Yeah, there you go. The one that you love, the teal dog. Teal fighting. Dog.
Oh, you mean like the guy from Smash, who's one of the top five most popular Pokemon in the franchise? Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted him to be on my team. And I was like, ah, oh, but wait.
It is a great shiny.
Yeah, it is. But I couldn't find it.
Well, Riolu has a very low spawn rate. That was also... Okay, so the map is actively unhelpful. I don't know how feel about it, but they're like, oh, there's a Riolu in this area. It's like, no, that just means Riolu can spawn in this area.
Yeah, I was like, why would you do that?
And then, like, I literally spent 45 minutes trying to find an Applin once because the game kept telling me that I was standing right on top of an Applin. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, it's clearly not spawning, but your game keeps telling me that it is in this area. So, like, I just, that the way that the map was done, like, you could have just had that in the Pokedex and whatever, but when you put it on them, like, our brains as gamers have been hardwired off of especially open world games and, you know, things like games like this with quests and objectives and areas you're supposed to walk to and stuff, that if it's on your map, it is something you can walk up to and interact with, like a tower in Assassin's Creed or a side quest in God of War or a little trinket to get in some other, you know, some of the games. So if you visually put objectives on our map that we can walk into, our brains are hardwired to think that something happens when you get there, and that's just not how it works.
Exactly, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I was talking to my friend about it. She's like, no, that doesn't mean that it's in the area. It just means it can spawn, and it's also not necessarily in the spot that the logo is. It might be somewhere else close to the... It's like, well, that's like doubly unhelpful.
Yeah, that's what my one friend said. I was like, they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm looking for this Pokemon in this area. It says that it's here on my map. And they're like, oh, no, that means it can spawn there. And I was like, what? They're like, yeah, that means it could spawn there. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to keep walking around until it does. And they're like, well, it might not. And I was like, what? This is dumb.
That meme is like, well, yes, but no.
I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, does someone want to trade me this Pokemon so I don't have to look for it? And someone was like, yeah, sure.
Dude, I literally could not find a Charcadet to save my life.
Oh, really? I found so many of them.
So I was like, well, I'm not going to use it because I have my Fuecoco already. I don't want to double up on fire types. However, I just want to catch it for, you know, completion's sake or whatever. So I literally had to have my brother trade me a Charcadet for me to evolve into Cerulege just because it was that dire. And then, of course, once I beat the game, once I get the Pokedex, now I see Charcadets all over the place. I'm like, oh, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I will say I was excited to see Cerulege's shiny, and then when I saw it, I said, this is trash.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you would imagine Cerulege and Armourouge should have had two of the greatest shinies ever, and they're like, you know, oh, let's put a little twinkle in their eye and do absolutely nothing else. Like, okay.
You know what would have been the coolest shiny for both of them?
Black.
If you just... No.
Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking of a color. I don't know.
Blue. Oh, if you swapped their color scheme.
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
That would have been a really cool idea.
But you're giving them too much credit. They didn't have time, you know. They were implementing giving us 10 minutes to put 3 pieces of pickles on a sandwich. Why does it take 10 minutes to do that?
Because you know who this game is geared towards.
But even a 6-year-old wouldn't take 10 minutes to put 3 pieces of cheese on a sandwich.
You don't know that.
I was 6. Listen, I beat the original Red and Blue when I was 5 or 6 years old. I believe these Generation Z 6-year-olds can put pickles on a sandwich in under 10 minutes. I have faith.
All right.
I guess, is that where we end it?
That's where we end it, on pickles.
Alright, yeah. So, I mean, overall, I had a great time playing the game, and it is more Pokemon, which is something I'm always going to appreciate, but moving on to, like, the competitive aspect is what me and a lot of my friends tried to do as fast as we could. So, that's in January. First regional is going to be San Diego in, I guess, a week and a half or whatever, January 7th or 6th, something like that, I forget. Whatever that weekend starts at. And so, once competitive starts, that's really when a new generation of Pokemon starts for me, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Oh, wait, I want to make one more comment about the game.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know, like, people will probably disagree with me. I think you might have disagreed with me when we had this conversation. But I really loved Arceus's way of catching Pokemon.
I did not either, yeah.
Wait, no, I loved it.
Oh, I thought you said I didn't. My bad. So that might have been what our disagreement was at, because I did not like it and you did like it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I liked it. It was just like, oh, look, there's a Pokemon. Pokeball. Oh, Slime Patch. Like, I liked that you could do it that way. Like, you'd see it and not have to get into a battle, and you could just throw a Pokeball at it. Like, that was really cool to me. But I feel like a lot of people also disagreed with me on that, so it made sense why they didn't.
Well, the only way you could pseudo do it was if you caught a Pokemon off guard. Turn you had in this game, you had an increased chance of catching them if you wanted.
Oh no, yeah, it's not. I learned that, and I did that a lot. it was still fun. It wasn't as painful as it had been in the past.
Yeah, so. I can see that. But, you know, I am a fan of, like, you know, false swiping a Pokemon down, using Thunder Wave, and getting it in its special ball that I like, you know. Although it is funny that my shiny Copperajah has the quick ball, because it's like one of the slowest Pokemon in the game. It's super big and, you know, not quick at all. But I was just freaking out because I found a shiny that I just threw a quick ball to make sure it didn't run away or, you know, or I accidentally knocked it out or anything.
I got you. I got you.
All right, Joe. Take us home and take us into the new year.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Cup of Joe. I've been your host, Joe Perrion, accompanied by my best friend, Joseph H. Brown. And we will see you in 2023 with a new episode of Cup of Joe.
I got a new middle name. I didn't know.